The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals, whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation. Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
And finally, we're there. A final series that feels slightly unfamiliar. Only four Victorian teams and just the solo week one final in Melbourne. So everyone's eyes will be on the G on Friday night for the All-Vic elimination final between the Dogs and Hawks. Hello and welcome to the Herald Sun Footy Podcast. I'm Andy Belez and Josh Barnes will join me coming up to talk about how the Dogs are planning on stopping Hawthorn's small forward brigade and where the game will be won. And then there's the Blues, with up to nine changes possible from their final round team. Josh will go through who could and who should come in to face the Lions at the Gabba on Saturday night. Here's Josh. Here on the Herald Sun Footy Podcast. Well, there's one final in Melbourne only this weekend. As we all know, it's the Dogs and Hawks. And Josh Barnes joins me to talk just those two teams. G'day, Barnsley.
Oh, it's going to be a huge Friday night, Andy. We don't have much else on. Otherwise, we'll be at the pub all weekend. But it's going to be a massive Friday, that's for sure.
Absolutely. And you were at the Dogs on Monday and got some of the inside word about how they're going to stop the Hawks juggernaut. What did you learn?
The glamorous life of the journalist was that we were locked outside of their indoor training facility when it started hailing at the Witten Oval.
Oh, beautiful.
Which I'm sure a lot of Dog fans and opposition fans have experienced over the years. So if you ever want to think about the glamorous journos lining up against the wall trying to shield themselves from the rain, it was pretty funny out there. But once we got inside, obviously all the talk is about Hawthorn. It's probably potentially the two most formed sides in the whole eight playing each other. One will keep going, one will be eliminated, obviously, Andy. I think a lot of it will be decided in Hawthorn's front half. The Bulldogs have sort of remodeled and reshaped their backline a lot with Rory Lobb this year. Liam Jones got through, luckily, I thought, from avoiding suspension in the last round. He'll be playing. And a lot of it is about Hawthorn's small forwards. When Hawthorn beat the Bulldogs earlier this year, Connor McDonald kicked three goals, Jack Inman won, and Dylan Moore won, and that was about all they got out of their small forwards. So they didn't get a lot there, but they still beat him. So I think they can get a little bit of improvement there, and it's going to be a lot resting, I think, on Taylor Duray coming into this round, because he's the one that plays lockdown there for the Dogs, while Bailey Dale and Lockie Bramble run the other way. So it's going to be a pretty tricky job for him to try and marshal the troops.
It's interesting there, isn't it, that two of the Dogs... three small backs are ex-Hawks in Duray and Bramble.
True.
Duray's a great survivor, isn't he? Because it's felt like he's been on the way out multiple times over the last 10 years or so, and yet here he comes into another final series for the Dogs.
Yeah, he played in Hawthorn's last final in 2018, yep. So I think there's five or six Hawks remaining and he's going to be playing as well on the other side. And I asked him about his contract. So he was delisted last year and re-rookied. He always thought he was going to be fine there. He wasn't in any danger of being cut completely. But he's pretty confident that he's going to get his eighth one-year deal in a row at the end of this year, is what he reckons. So it's been a long journey for him, but he's still such a vital player. He started the year in the VFL. He's going to end it, potentially end it, in the final series later this year.
It is slightly a shame, isn't it, that, yeah, as you said, the Dogs and the Hawks, probably the two of the more exciting teams, or the most exciting teams coming into the final season series, taking each other on, but it will be a sight to behold on Friday night. Does Taylor Duray think that the Dogs can win the game?
Yeah, so I think they're pretty focused on the midfield with Will Day out. I think they can really get a lot in there. A lot will be resting on Adam Treloar. He'll be training on Wednesday to try and prove that calf is all good to play in the elimination final. And should he get up, I think they have a bit of an advantage there, the Dogs, just in their ability to win the contest and spread forward. And their forward line, the Hawthorn back line is, I guess, susceptible. James Sicily's a star down there, but Sam Frost has held things together. down there a little bit this year. Obviously, if Norton, Ugel-Hagen get going down there, it's going to be pretty hard to stop with Sam Darcy as well. So I think that's where their advantages are, and that's why Hawthorn's forward line has to be good. Their main weapon, I think, was the way we're going to stop them is not letting the ball inside the forward 50, which is never a great sign, was the word from both Bailey Dale and Taylor Duray yesterday. But a lot of it is handovers. So we're getting into the nitty-gritty here, Andy, but if you're at the MCG on Friday night, you'll see that Duray, Jones and Lobb often are the three deepest defenders. And so they'll be handing over and allowing that, and Hawthorn will be trying to mix them up and confuse them going back the other way. So it's going to be a lot of action inside that back 50 for the Dogs.
And on the other hand, we have Geelong playing in as a, you know, there's only two other Victorian teams in the eight. Four of the teams are from interstate. Oh, no, interstate supporters don't like us calling them the interstate teams, the non-Victorian teams. So the Cats are playing Port Adelaide over there in Adelaide, and then we'll talk after the break about how Carlton might look very different from their final round team as well. But as someone with an intimate knowledge and love for the Cats, how do the Cats look coming up against Port?
Yeah, I think the fascinating question for me is Sam De Koning and his role heading into the weekend. So he played in the VFL last week after he's been dealing with a knee injury, had a very minor operation a few weeks ago, and he played in the ruck in the VFL. Now, Reece Stanley's been okay in the AFL level recently. I think he's been reasonable the last month or so. So he hasn't been sort of battling there, but the Cats are going to be debating whether to play Sam De Koning at full back or in the ruck. Port Adelaide, I think, are debating their own forward line. Charlie Dixon looks like he will play. You'd assume Vicentini is dropped out of that team. That leaves Radigalia at full forward versus Todd Marshall, really, I think, deciding whether they play there. If they do play Radigalia and Dixon together, that's two very tall forwards. Geelong doesn't really have a tall back outside of De Koning. Jack Henry and Jake Colajasny are both undersized down there. So it's going to be fascinating debate for Chris Scott in the past. He has surprised us in first finals over the years. Reece Stanley was dropped in 2019 last minute because of the weather, and then it didn't rain. So that was a mistake. Geelong lost that game to Collingwood. I wonder whether Reece Stanley is going to be in the gun again. It's going to be a really interesting watch this week, which way they go down there.
And Chris Scott always seems to have Mark Blitzavs, who he can just slot into any role, including into the ruck as well, if needed at times.
Yeah, and that's the interesting thing also with Blitzavs is against West Coast, he was playing key back for periods of time, which we haven't seen him do for 6 or 7 years, really. Mm. So he was manning Oscar Allen at stages against West Coast in the last round. Whether that was just a way to get him out of the middle and save his body, whether that was a genuine testing him out to see if he's still capable of playing fullback and they could rotate Blitzavs and De Koning out of defence, it's going to be fascinating. It's an interesting question for Geelong to answer, I guess, on Thursday night.
Absolutely. So, yeah, by the weekend, we'll have seen both of these results and we'll have a bit more of an understanding of where we sit for week two. Let's take a break and let's come back and talk about those Blues. You're listening to the Herald Sun Footy Podcast.
I'm Andrew Rule, the host of the podcast A Life and Crimes. Here are some of the things that we've been talking about the last few weeks. The brutal truth is that when you start looking at it, they always kill or injure a lot more than each other.
The professional hitman used to be a professional hitman.
Evil strikes in all forms, but particularly as stupidity. Life and Crimes is available wherever you get your podcasts.
Here on the Herald Sun Footy Podcast, well, we've discussed the Dogs and the Hawks. We've discussed the Cats and Port. Josh Barnes is with me, and let's talk the Blues because they're seemingly the most intriguing prospect for the finals, the week one of the finals, that is, because they've been banged up, they've had a week off, and there's a possibility that multiple players who we didn't think could come up might end up being in their finals team to take on Brisbane up there at the Gabba.
Yeah, it's fascinating. It's been a wild month, I suppose, for Carlton with all the injuries they've just continually picked up, limping through the last two rounds, getting into the eight, and now we don't know how many are going to be back. They'll be training all week trying to prove, I guess, who is capable and ready. There's eight players waiting, hoping to play. So Charlie Kerno, Harry Mackay, Zach Williams, Mitch McGovern, Sam Doherty, Adam Chera, and Jack Martin, and Tom De Koning as well. That's nine, I think, in the end.
Yeah, well,
I've lost count. There's too many.
That's half a team.
It's a lot of players. Matt Owies will be out with suspension. Otherwise, they're going to have to cut a lot of those young players that they brought in for the last couple of rounds, to fill a side, really, and fill the team sheet. How many changes is too many, Andy? Have we learned any lessons about this over the years, or is it really just a case-by-case basis?
Well, anecdotal, it's always been about five changes has been too many. I think it's always you know, the old footy fans will say, oh, a team that makes five changes isn't going to win that week. But when they're injury-based, and, I mean, it's easy to forget now that they're in the finals and we've had a week off, that they didn't look all that impressive against St Kilda in the final round.
Yeah.
Losing to the Saints, only just scraping in because Frio lost at home to Port in that last game of the round. I don't know. I think, you know, five or six changes is not inconceivable for the Blues, particularly when you're talking about Kerno, Mackay, Chera possibly, and even Doherty. I mean, what a story that would be.
Yeah, well, the famous example is the Bulldogs in 2016 when they rung the changes there. They had the week off. It was the first time we'd had the pre-finals bye, and they made a huge amount of changes. But they were, and similar to Carlton, they were frontline players that they needed to get back in, and it worked for them. They got them all back, and they made a premiership run. It's very hard to say. I think a lot of these players pick themselves here. If Charlie Kerner and Harry Mackay can walk, they're going to be playing. They have to be in the team. They have to be playing. Mitch McGovern has to play, I think, for structural reasons. I think Zach Williams should be good to go. I think it's too risky to play Adam Chera and Jack Martin just because we know they've broken down several times before. And if they do that in the first half on Saturday, you're in real trouble there. And then you've got the fairy tales, really. Sam Doherty did his knee earlier this year. We all thought that's it for him. And now he's in the frame. And the talk out of Carlton is that he's a genuine chance to play. It's strange to play someone in a final off a knee without playing in the VFL or anything. But, I mean, can he do it? It's amazing.
That would be the difficulty for me. You know, history suggests that players who come back in after long periods and are spirited straight into teams or, you know, played when they've come back from an injury, you know, after a week or less, often it doesn't quite work. And that would be the heartbreaking thing, that maybe they bring him back in, it's a fairy tale, and then, you know, soft tissue injury gets him or something like that early in the game. I think they need to show caution because they obviously, you know, they've made the finals without him. So, I don't know. Personally, I think as nice as it would be for Carlton fans, it might be a risk too great to take.
Yeah, and often they struggle the second week up as well, but for Carlton there may not be a second week. So if you're going to take the risk, now's the time.
Yeah.
It's a fascinating, and they do have players, as we said, that can sort of go out. They're not players that can't be removed from the team, with a bunch of young players that did a good job in the last 2 weeks to get them to finals, but they're sort of expendable a little bit, unfortunately, for them. The other one, obviously, is Tom DeConing with his foot that he missed the last, I think, 6 weeks or so of the regular season. He apparently trained okay on Tuesday. It's another big risk with him, and the question, the age-old question with Carlton, whether they play two rucks. I don't think you can play him as a solo ruck straight out of nowhere. So then sometimes when he's played as a second ruck, it really dilutes both of their sort of outputs, him and Mark Pitternet. So whether that's even worth the change itself is going to be another question when they go to Brisbane. Do you think there are a chance in Brisbane they're going to make at least four changes, potentially up to six or seven?
I think everyone's a chance this finals season. I thought that any one of that, you know, the chasing pack who didn't quite make the eight, you slot them into positions 6, 7, 8, I think they would have been just as much of a risk to any of the top four teams as well. I think this is one of those open seasons, and I still believe that any of the top eight could win the flag.
Yeah. I think that final looms as the most, I guess, one-sided when you look at it. But if Carlton get these players back, who knows? I don't think you can do any tipping. We did our crystal balling in tomorrow's Herald Sun, and I'm confident that 90% of my crystal balling will be wrong. So I'm sure whatever I tip will be incorrect. It's just been that kind of season.
We won't hold you to it. But I mean, and also, yes, Brisbane came back, but in that first quarter in last year's preliminary final, where Carlton were not expected to go anywhere, it looked like how far Carlton, didn't it? They were miles in front at quarter time, and Brisbane pegged them back. But, you know, if they can do that again, they're very good with the fast starts, the Blues. So, you get those forwards back in, it can loom large for a Brisbane team who have fought their own way back. 3 months ago, they weren't even looking like making finals. So, yeah, I think anything can happen come finals, and that's what's so exciting about it.
And it was the opposite. In opening round, Brisbane were up by 8 goals in the second quarter, and then Carlton pegged them back and beat them, which feels like a long time ago now, but it was a fascinating game, that one. So hopefully we're up for as good a contest on Saturday night.
Absolutely. Josh Barnes, enjoy your finals footy. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks, Andy.
That'll do us on today's Herald Sun Footy podcast. I'm Andy Belairs, and my thanks to Josh Barnes for joining me today. Make sure you keep an eye out for our finals crystal ball on Wednesday morning. Nick McGuan will play coach in previewing each of the finals. We'll have live coverage of all four games, and of course, Robbo's can't miss tackle on Sunday night. I'll catch you next week.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.